The ninth chapter, we begin with verse 51.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Sorry, I'm so used to it. Anyway. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You guys are going to sit too? Okay. Anybody remember plowing with oxen, a team of oxen? I mean, anybody go that far back?
Horses.
Horses, okay. Did you catch the number that Elisha was plowing with? 12. That's like unheard of. Two, right? Or maybe four. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Dennis. That just caught me. Maybe it was like a multi-plowed plow, whatever you call those disc sorts of things. Let's pray and get on with the sermon. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to come and follow you. Lord, you call each and every one to follow you, to be a part of your church, to do ministry in your name, both here and around the world. Lord, as you call us to come, Lord, as you call us to follow, we just pray that we would say, "Yes, here I am. I am ready. I will go." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are times in our lives when we sometimes have to face those tough moments. When those tough times come along, there's that temptation to go back to bed and to pull the covers up over our heads. Somebody wrote this about their cancer. He wrote, "I did not want to go to the hospital for surgery. I did not want to be wheeled into the operating room. I did not want to deal with my cancer. But I packed my bag, and my wife drove me to the hospital. My face was set toward the hospital. I did not want to go, but I was determined to get there." Have you ever felt like that? Things happen, priorities change. Things that were important a week ago are no longer important at the present time. When those things happen, when those priorities change, you just have to do it. In our gospel lesson, Jesus' mind was made up. His face was set toward Jerusalem. Nothing would stop him. And he knew that going to Jerusalem would mean his death. But nothing would stop him. His disciples were there. And along the way, there were people who wanted to join Jesus, to become one of his followers. And in today's gospel, we read of three such would-be followers. The first would-be follower said, "I will follow you wherever you go." To which Jesus said, "If you're going to follow me, do not expect any luxuries like a bed to sleep in." Being a follower of Jesus does not guarantee a good life, a life filled with glamour or riches or fame. And often being a follower of Jesus means the opposite, living an ordinary life. One of my frustrations with some Christian denominations is their teaching that implies that if you follow Jesus, if you are a believer in God, God will bless you abundantly in this life. I think that's bad theology, because nowhere do I read in the Bible where God says, "If you follow me, I will give you everything you want." It's not there. I do believe that God will bless us with riches and honor in heaven, but God also promises that here in this lifetime, here and on earth, God will give us all of our needs and some of our wants. To the second would-be follower, Jesus said, "Come with me." But this one said, "I have to go back and bury my father." Scholars think that this man was probably asking permission to stay with his parents until they died, because the oldest son had the responsibility of taking care of parents in their old age. And so after the parents' death, he would be ready to follow Jesus. Jesus did not have the time. He was headed for Jerusalem to his death. To be a follower of Jesus means to be a follower right now. Not next year, not next month, next week, but right now. The third would-be follower said, "Let me first go and say goodbye to my family." But Jesus said, "You cannot look back if you are a worker in God's kingdom. We will not stop for you to call home." Goes back to that first lesson again. Elisha picturing the 12 oxen in front with the to plow. You've got to be looking forward, because what happens when you look back? You go all over the place. You've got to keep your eyes fixed. So this third would-be follower did not have the opportunity, or Jesus didn't want to give him the opportunity to go back home. And it sounds kind of harsh. Dr. Ken Bailey, who is a Middle East scholar, a Lutheran pastor, and he's retired in the Duluth area now, he suggests that this man was asking to say farewell so that he could get his parents' permission to go with Jesus. Ken Bailey writes, "Everyone knows that his father will refuse to let the boy wander off in some unquestionable venture." I'm a typical dad. My children, our children, are young adults, and you know that I know what's best for them, right? Always. But being a pretty decent father, I let Hannah and Jonah make their own decisions, go in their own direction, to give them permission to go on whatever venture they want to, well, almost whatever venture they want to go. So maybe this would-be disciple was not all that serious. Serious. That's the point. If you're going to follow Jesus, he wants you to be committed. A follower of Jesus needs to be serious about following Jesus. There are lots of ways to follow Jesus today. Some ways seem bigger than others. Some ways might seem out of reach for you, maybe not for somebody else. But the opposite is also true. There are some things that you can do that others may not even dream about doing. I know people here at Salem who follow Jesus through putting together quilts, or visiting someone in the nursing home, or teaching Sunday school, or painting Sunday school rooms. Other followers are people who go on mission trips, or who mow grass their dale, who help with CHUM and Second Harvest and Habitat for Humanity. Other followers pray or give their time and energy, or invite others to worship and other events. Now, obviously, I'm focusing on the Salem family. There are other followers out there in the world who are not a part of our family, but I focus upon the Salem family. I've been driving around town, and I've noticed a couple of yard signs that have caught my eye. These signs are from the Duluth House Church movement. I don't know a whole lot about that movement, but the sign reads, "Participants, not spectators." Participants, not spectators. I like this sign, and it has an important message for us today. Jesus wants us to be participants and not just spectators. Jesus wants us, all of us, to follow him and to participate and not to just watch from the sidelines. I was mowing the grass at home on Friday thinking about this idea, and I got thinking about all of you here today wondering who might be here, who might be here, and the phrase "preaching to the choir" popped into my head. Does everybody know what that phrase means, preaching to the choir? Anybody not know it? If you don't know it, ask your neighbor. Preaching to the choir might not seem like the right thing for me to do, right? Because you're the choir. You're the ones that are here. You are the ones that are participating. I should be preaching to the ones who are not here, right? Ooh. That's like an awkward silence there. I don't know if you're thinking of mulling that one over. Herein lies the challenge. Getting to people who are not here to be the followers and participants. And it dawned on me while I was mowing, preaching to the choir is the starting point. We are the followers of Jesus. We are the participants. And it's our duties to be the ones who invite others to follow Jesus, to be a part of the ministry here at Salem and elsewhere, to be more than spectators, to be participants. You and I are the inviters, to invite friends, neighbors, coworkers to come, follow Jesus, to come and participate. Now, I was thinking about a children's sermon over the weekend, and we're not going to do a children's, but I was thinking follow the leader. We all have played follow the leader, right? Jesus is calling us to follow him, but Jesus is also calling us to call to other people, come, get in this line, be a part of this ministry, come, participate, be a follower. Can we do this? I have some words written down in my sermon here. Yes, we can. Are you willing to say yes, we can after I ask you these short little questions? Can we do this? Can we invite others to follow Jesus? Can we invite others to participate with us? And all God's children say, amen. Our next song, "Here I Am, Lord," during which time we'll receive our offerings and our tithes.